Just start. Okay.
Hey, howdy, hey. I'm Glenna May.
And Josue.
And welcome to Y'all Really Be Trying Me Today. So, we're back, you guys. I know it's been a while, but we out here.
Dude, a while. So we've been hit with a lot of things. We've been busy.
We really have. We've been trying to make some career changes. We've been going through it, as far as personal life. So I definitely, I'm proud of us for even being here today, okay? We made the effort.
Yes, ma'am. Also, because we're just not working.
At the same time for once. I feel like we both, you're like, okay, I'm off. And I'm like, I'm definitely in my bed right now.
Yeah, I know.
About to lay my sweet head down to rest. It doesn't have the bonnet on and everything.
We're committed.
So we go try this again.
Can you call this being committed? I think so.
Thank you. And you've been doing some of your own things too. Like your YouTube channel is popping
my
off.
Videos. I try. Well, here's the thing. Like I barely bought a computer like not that long ago. So I feel like I have no other choice besides like I have no excuse to like not do anything with it. So.
Definitely. You got yourself a MacBook, didn't you?
Yes, ma'am. MacBook Pro.
Oh my gosh, look at you with the touch bar.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Bougie.
Not the 13-inch because 15-inch was a little too expensive, but it's so funny because half of the... this was all my stimulus money. It was half... half of it, I saved it. It was the last... check that we got from Mr. Trump, like the 600 one, and then whenever Biden went into office there was that $1,400 one, so I used both of them basically, combined it and paid for all of this. So
that's called investing in your businesses.
Investing.
And I'm very proud of you.
Self-investment. Thank you.
I know. We have a lot to talk about today. Self-investment, self-improvement. Like, the main topic, though, that we're going to be kind of delving into is...
Relationship. Yikes. And this... Okay. And are we going to do, like, specifically, you want to do relationships, like, in general, like, friendship relationships and, like... what do you say? I guess romantic relationships.
Yeah, I was thinking more of how everything in the past, I guess now couple of years, because COVID really started at the end of 2019, but kind of just how we've grown and evolved as far as relationships.
Oh,
and
the
other guy that was like gonna do it with us, is not available right now.
Which is fine. Because... we don't want him to be in here anyway, so...
Fine, you're lost. Bye.
I'm just kidding. I don't even know what his name is.
You're out here. Wow.
Okay.
Really just wanted to kind of talk about where we're at, what the things that we've learned. And I think I'm not necessarily pinned on the idea of relationships. I think I'm more about love, like just kind of how love has changed us. And yeah, like romantic, but also platonic love, because they are that platonic love is very, very real. Like I love the absolute shit out of you. I love you so much, but I wouldn't want to get in your pants, you know, like.
Exactly. And neither would I.
Love you to death though.
It's just cool. But
so I think we can like dive in. We kind of had like questions that we were thinking about these last couple of weeks to like get our head spaced in the right way. And I think for me at least, like there are everyone needs four things as like a foundation for any relationship. And
four things.
Get the pointer out. Get me my whiteboard.
Take notes.
But that's because any sound foundation has four points of contact. And I know that's like super weird, but it kind of, to me, that relates over to love in relationships, because if a sturdy foundation and construction and architecture and all that good stuff needs four sound points of contact, then I feel like that's something that should be integral in actual relationships as far as the base that you're building off of.
Girl, I am nodding my head like up and down right now because half of it, you used some words that I did not that were not in my vocabulary.
You're like, yes,
but snaps, I get it. I'm keeping up.
But for me anyway, like one of those foundation points, has to be communication. And I feel like that's super basic.
Oh, yeah, like, that's the first one I wrote down as well.
Because like that, you have to have good communication skills in order to not only express your feelings or your thoughts to me.
Or what you're doing. Yeah. And yes, what you're doing.
Like you also have to have that to be able to communicate within yourself. So if you have poor communication skills, like that's not just a you and me problem. That's a you problem, sis. Like that's
you.
That's not something I can fix for. I can work on it with you, but you also have to understand what I'm saying in order to work on it. Like no change happens without acknowledgement. So it just that for me is like a core point.
Mm-hmm. Next one. <I'm just kidding. laughs> Okay, next. I mean, we put the same thing, but for me, second one is honesty, also very basic.
No, but it's like, but the thing is, that has to be a base. That has to be a foundation point, because if yes, I can't trust you, then what are we doing? Like that, it's basic, but at the same time, again, it's integral. Like I can't, if I can't trust you, how am I supposed to build with you? How am I supposed to? And again, that's not just for romantic love, but like also for friendships. Yes, like if friendship. I can't trust you, how am I supposed to include you in my inner circle, lean on you for support, come to you with my issues, trust what you're telling me is true about your issues. Like how Amen. Am I, where do we go?
Amen. These two are universal. Honesty, communication. It's a universal thing. Everyone should know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I feel like you are lacking emotionally if you don't understand that the first two points are like that's so everyone needs that.
Honestly, communication. What else did you put? What was your third one?
So
I feel like we have the different third one.
I feel like we would. So my third one actually kind of ties to one and two, but it's emotional intelligence. Like, I feel like you need to be able to express your own emotions. So, it kind of ties into communication, ooh, but also feel comfortable telling me what you're feeling. So, it kind of ties into honesty.
Yes.
So, I feel like that's my third one, just because, like, if I can't communicate with you on not just a surface level, but, like, on that deep level of, you know, delving into yourself, delving into each other. And I feel like back in my weed smoking days, like I used to love doing that. Like when I was high, I would love to just sit and play music and then really get, I guess it's like nosy, but like really dive into people.
No, it's just, it's just deep conversations you're having with people.
Yeah. And that to me was like, emotional intelligence. Yeah,
that
is
should
just,
be my third one.
No. What's your third one? Tell me what your third one is.
Loyalty.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yes, ma'am. Loyalty.
That did not make my list.
So, like, loyalty obviously makes a lot of sense in a romantic perspective because it's like, you know, you have to be loyal to that exact person. But loyalty within relationships, I feel like friendships, I feel like it has a very different meaning, I guess, because it's like, for me personally, if I have friends and I have really close friends who who are very loyal to me and very honest as well about what they're, you know, if they're doing, if they don't feel like hanging out, that's completely fine, you know, because it's like, yeah, I'm doing nothing, but it's like, do I want to go hang out? No. So it's like, if you understand me that I just don't want to go out because I just don't want to, then you are my best friend. Like, that's, you know, not hanging out, but like, I don't know what it is, but like, obviously after, whenever COVID started, like being quarantined, I don't know, it just made me feel much more closer to my friendships.
And I think, like, you, what you're saying is, like, when you don't want to hang out, when you don't want to go do those things, is, like, not cutting you off or, like, being done.
Exactly.
It's just understanding who you are and then staying loyal to that.
And then another thing, I have been in situations where it's, like, I've had friends or even couples, like, split up from each other. And it's, like, I'm still friends with both of you. So it's, like,
yeah,
you know, why would I do one dirty and just take one person's side when I had absolutely no problem with, you know, either side? So it's, like, I'm also I stay neutral as much as I can, because it's... And I do stay neutral. I like being a neutral person, because it's, like, it's fun. Shit, I'm just trying to have a good time. Like, you know?
Okay, but where would it be? Like, where would you lie? Like, let's say that one of... In that situation for yourself, you said that, like, you were friends with either party and they broke up. And I have a very similar situation that we were both in.
Okay. So that's what I was going to get into. So it's, like... If you obviously did something dirty, very dirty behind my back or behind one of my closest friends' back, where, like, it's like if we used to be all together and be, like, really good friends. But if you did something dirty, something crazy, and you acted up, well, yeah, obviously then it's just, I'm obviously going to be more loyal to the person who's, then I'm going to be fair. That's where I'm going to be fair. You know?
Okay, I like that. It, like, not where you're picking sides.
Yeah, not taking sides, but I'm gonna be fair, and I'm gonna call it out too, because it's, like, you know, I always like to be the person to call it out.
But but I also feel like that in and of itself is being loyal. Like, you're loyal even though the other person did dirty. You're loyal enough to be like, hey, that's not cool. Like, I'm gonna have to take a step back.
Yeah,
like that. I don't agree with your morals on that one, buddy.
Talking about it is just, that's just how it's going to work out. Just talking about it, having a discussion. But some people obviously just don't know how to have an adult discussion. So it's just like, you know, okay.
And it's like, that's where, for me anyway, like, that's where honesty, communication, and emotional intelligence come in. Like, if you can't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where does it go? You're just going to get mad and then, like, act like everything's cool. Like, I don't know. Do you know the situation that I'm referencing that we were kind of both in a couple years ago with our friends?
I think so. Oh, wait, there was. Okay. It's so. Whoever's listening, she just sent me a text message of someone's person's name, so it's like, okay, now I know who it is.
Okay, but that was really hard for me, because I feel like I was friends with one of them first, but then the other one came along, and that's where I feel like I'm kind of fake. Like, I'm a little fake in that aspect, because I liked the other person, not like had a crush on them, but like I enjoyed the company of the other person. Mm-hmm. And this person was mad at me because they were like, hey, this person did this, and that's not cool. But I didn't have any beef. And honestly, the things were, like, kind of super petty, and
I hate that. Oh my gosh.
Yes. And it's like, if being it were petty. A real issue, like, I would definitely understand that. Like, if you were being abused, or if they, you know, like, cheated on you, like, I would get that. But this is like, both of y'all were, like, really, really petty, and you kept going back to each other, like, over and over and over again. Like, that puts me in an awkward situation, because you want me to hate this person, but then you're running back, like, and I've already said all these trash things about them because I'm trying to, like, be on your side. And
that,
I talk myself into a hole in that aspect when, okay, we hate this person, awesome, they're shit, and we're gonna go, you know, egg their house, like, you know, forget them.
Not egging the house.
I know. And all of a sudden you're like besties. Like, what do you want me to do here? I just, like, shit talk them for an hour straight while you cried.
Oh, yeah. Oof. But yeah. Okay, the whole friendship thing also. Well, I mean, okay, you say your fourth one, because I feel like we also have a different fourth one as well.
Yeah, I feel like we do. So I had mine as, you know, honesty, communication, and intelligence. Emotional intelligence. And then I want, and this is weird, but my fourth one is actually ambition. Like, I want, like, okay, the, like, all of, and any of my relationships, I want us to be ambitious, not necessarily, and it can be, you know, drive for a better life, to, you know, for a business, to start a family, as far as like my romantic partners. But I also want my friends to, you know, like, I want them to have goals, and not just like, you know, I want to be a millionaire, but like, you know, I want to get better. Like, I want to invest in myself and go to therapy, or like, I want to spend more time with my family. Like, I just want you to be working on yourself and continuously, like, looking inward, and, you know, going after what you want, even if it's not like a financial goal or a family goal. Like, even if it's, I want to get out of bed this morning because I've been depressed for 3 weeks. I want to get out of bed. I want to put makeup on. And that's something that I've actually had to work on in myself. Like, after pregnancy, I definitely was like, I just want to sit in bed with my baby. I do not want to do anything.
I mean, but it was also like, I mean, it has been a really tough, like, 2 years. So it's like, it's not like, I mean, people are barely starting to go out too. So it's not like you can't fully blame yourself, because, you know, people have felt for like these past 2 years, like I said, like, not being able to like go out and do stuff or whatever. But honestly, like, everyone, I mean, shit, I've been like, okay, I have been traveling, but it's just like, but
safely,
and it's to see my family. It's been exactly to just see my family and friends, and it really isn't for the funsies. I mean, obviously, I go out and have fun with my friends and stuff like that, but it's for the sole purpose of, you know, I miss being with my family and friends a lot.
But that's to me, that's also, that falls underneath ambition. Like, we have been locked down. You do miss your family and your friends. So why, you know what I mean? Like, that in and of itself is a goal. Like, your goal was to get closer and, you know, build stronger connections to your family and friends.
Yeah.
That's ambition. That's wanting to go out and do something and, you know, putting effort towards completing that goal. So yeah. I don't beat myself up at all. Cause it's been like a hard year, and, you know, postpartum is real. But at the same time, I was like, I kind of felt like I lost myself a little bit because I didn't really make an effort toward anything. And this podcast was the first thing that I really was like, you know what? I've been wanting to do this for a long time. Let's go out and do it. And
fuck yeah.
So, but that's my fourth one. I don't know. What did you have?
Okay. My fourth one is freedom.
That's a good one.
Because, okay, I know some people are going to roll their eyes when I say this. I am into some astrology.
Oh, you know I am. You know I am. Don't even play around.
You know, I'm an Aquarius, born January. And I'm very much wanting my own freedom, even in like...
True Aquarian style, buddy.
It's like, you know, like, if I'm in a relationship with you, like a serious relationship, where it's romantically, it's like, yeah, I love being with you and I love being with that person and I always want to be with that person, but I don't feel like I should personally. Why would I let this one person take me away from having my own fun but still being loyal to you?
Absolutely. You know?
It's like going out with my friends, and it's like being with my family. Oh my God, sorry. I don't know if you heard that, but I'm like cracking my knuckles.
I mean, it's an ASMR, you know, a little spice thrown into the mix.
But yeah, freedom. I just can't, you know, I have to have my me time, my own time. And I hope for whoever's with me understands that it's not like, personal. I don't want to be with you. It's just like, I just like my freedom. I like having my me time. I like going out and doing stuff by myself as well, you know?
And if I may, I might add that as an honorary fifth pillar, because, you know, foundations only get stronger with pillars. But I think that's a beautiful point that not a lot of people want to talk about, because there's definitely this idea that's pinned, or like the stereotype that's pinned to romantic relationships.
Oh my God, yeah.
You have to spend every waking moment with your significant other. And
that's, oh my God, that has to do, actually, now that you said that, that's very much into culture. Because in my culture, in Mexican culture, it's like, it's very, well, it's changed a lot now, which I'm grateful for. But it's very much like, you're my wife, you should be, you know, with me and type of stuff. You know, like,
yeah. Where... I definitely think that's like not necessarily culture, but as far as Mormonism, because I do identify as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that's definitely something that it's a long name. But that's definitely also a stereotype where it's like we're husband and wife now, so we can only have married friends. You have to cut off all your single friends. And, you know, like, we have that's friends ugly. Now. You don't like, have friends. No. Like, we have friends. I think it's changing, too. But that's definitely something that's a stigma, at least, that, like...
Yes. Oh, my God.
And that could just be me. There could be some people out there listening that are like, that is not my experience at all. That's for me, personally, with my church. That, like, wives have married friends. You don't have single friends. You definitely don't have friends of the opposite gender, which... I can see how that would pose some whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you know, the Mormon church is very much like heterosexual love.
Yeah. Religion or not, it's very still like, that's still very much going on.
And I don't get that. But I definitely think freedom, like not necessarily to just do whatever you want, but do whatever you want within reason. Like, I want my hobbies that are just mine. I want
time
that's just mine. I want a day that it's just me. Like, I love you and I love your energy. I wouldn't be in a romantic or, you know, even platonic relationship if I didn't love you. But I need to be alone. I need to just, you know, be naked with a book or something.
I need to be smoking a joint in my backyard alone.
By listening to music by myself, listening with no other human interaction around me. Okay, like, it's not personal. It's not personal.
Not personal. Okay.
Next what was question. I gonna tell you?
Just kidding.
No. I was gonna tell you something, and I forgot. Oh, okay. That's what it was. Because I definitely, like, I've experienced that in platonic relationships, but I also had a friend that. We're no longer friends anymore, but they were definitely very much like, why are you hanging out with them when you could be hanging out with me?
Oh, and Jesus Christ, please. Cry me a river.
Dude, but I used to be very manipulated by that, and that person knew. And so I would be like canceling plans to go hang out with them. And
oof, yeah, I can't understand that. I have never done that in my life. If I genuinely, like, cut off another person, like, to go out and do other plans, like, I would be honest about it. And plus, I probably, you know, everyone has a really good reason to do that. But if you're being manipulated to do that, then that's a whole different story. I don't think that's a very good friend.
Oh, no. I mean, they're definitely cut off now, because I did realize, and there were a lot of things that, like, that relationship is kind of, like, monument to me, and that it did define a little bit who I was for a little bit. And then after I got out of it, like, that experience changed me a lot as well, like realizing what was going on. But that's definitely something that I feel like just ties into freedom, is that being manipulated away from you, or like guilted away from you, because you are that person. But then, I don't know, it's weird. We can move on to the next question.
No, I understand, sis.
Let's see. Oh, okay. Deal breakers. You start this one. I'm kind of interested in what you have.
Deal breakers. Okay. Some red flags. Let's talk about some red flags.
I like this.
What did I write down? Okay. I think of it, and this has been in movies, but I'm scared of meeting someone and not knowing 100% who they really are, like someone covering their identity.
Oh,
that's just scary for me. But that's just, I think that was, those were my inner thoughts. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but I'm pretty sure, you know, it's been in movies. So
well, like,
I've never experienced like someone else, like, you know, like someone close with me who has gone out with someone and it's like, you know, they hid their whole identity. But I don't know, that's just scary to me. That was just my thought at that moment when I read that question. But
like, who the bleep did I marry type?
Yeah.
No, but I feel like that's definitely fair, especially mm-hmm. when you can feel that they are hiding something, and it's like, for why? Like, why? why are you doing that?
But besides, besides that, I put up someone having a problem with my lifestyle or likes, my likes and lifestyle.
Okay, elaborate.
Let's see. If I'm gonna go out with somebody, first of all, everyone knows that I'm a pothead, so it's like, I don't think I can be in a genuine, I mean, here's the thing, I don't know, I probably can, but to me, I don't think I could be in a relationship with someone who does not have the same type of likes and lifestyle as me.
Okay.
So but... it's like, also like, I obviously I do like going out. I know I'm a social person. I like to go out and I like to drink and stuff like that. So if I don't know if I can date someone who doesn't absolutely like to do that, you know, it's like, I would love to have someone to do that with, like, for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's cute. So that, this is more for like romantic, so not necessarily friendships, but like the person you spend your life with.
Okay. Because if it was my friends, obviously I have a whole bunch of other friends who have different likes. Like my best friend April, she never goes out. She never goes out to bars. She doesn't even drink or smoke at all. But she is literally my best friend. Like, I love her so much. But she absolutely does, like, that we're like the same personality, but different likes and lifestyle, obviously. So yeah, but like, that's mainly within a romantic relationship, I guess, because it's, you know, if you're gonna be with me all the time, shit, you better like the, you better go out with me, you better,
you pump, know, pump it up.
Yeah,
I definitely think that's a good one. Well, because, okay, so let me just get some clarification on it. So you're saying that like they have to have all the same likes as you, or like the core, like things like core likes?
No, the core likes, honestly. Okay. It doesn't have to, oh no, I also wouldn't want to date somebody who's 100% like me. I would literally, no, they have to have some type of, you know, opposites. You have to be some type of opposites. Like they say, opposites attract. It's so cheesy, but
it's
in
true,
some
though.
Ways, yeah, in some ways I do want to have an opposite, but also, you know,
yeah, like someone you can, oh, are you still with me? Hey, sorry, can you hear me? If you can hear me, I can't hear you. Hey, sorry. And now on to your previously scheduled ramblings.
Sorry, y'all.
Dang it, what red flag were we talking about?
You just said it.
I literally, deal like, breakers. I know, but what deal breaker were we talking about? Oh, like,
lifestyle, like, yeah.
Okay, I remember now. That was...
okay, oh, but what did you write? I said what I had to say.
So my first real deal breaker is not... And this, I know, like, everything, mine, like, all kind of sounds similar, but mine is not being able to manage your emotions. Like, if you can't gauge your emotions, like, that's a big red flag for me, because I have a mama's gonna fix you complex. And so when, like, that's something that I really discovered in my previous relationship, where I'm like, why are all these men with all these issues Like, why are they finding me, and why do I love them so much? And it's
you're a groomer. I'm just kidding.
Oh my god. Maybe a little bit. Like, jeez.
No. That's James Charles.
When I oh my gosh, I know. It's so sad what's going on with him. But yeah, like that whole, if you can't man it's like a red flag for me now, because I see that and I'm immediately like, let me help you. And so I have to stay away from that. But also, like, that should be a red flag, period. Because if you don't know how to manage your emotions, like,
I mean, but that's because you can't blame yourself, because you have sympathy for people, and I have sympathy for people as well.
I think, okay, but here's the thing, because you don't get involved with, like, a lot of drama. You're, like, on the outskirts, and you're like, ooh, like the chisme.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm always taking a look from the outdoors.
But you don't get involved. So I think you are a very sympathetic person, because you can feel for others, but you don't get involved. Whereas I feel like I'm very empathetic, and I get involved, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to fix this for you. Like, whatever it is, we're going to figure it out, sis. And then I get involved and, like, carry an emotional burden for myself and other people.
Yeah.
And doing shadow work, because, you know, I'm into my witchy tings.
Yes, ma'am.
That's something that, like, there's a difference between, like, sympathy and empathy. And there's no, you know, wrong way to do it. But I admire that you're sympathetic and not empathetic, because I feel like empathetic people get involved way too much.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really into, I'm going to be honest, it really wasn't into this past year where I started talking to someone and I became very empathetic for them. And it just ended up being draining because, you know, the other person was just, I guess, putting too much on my plate, but they didn't mean to do that. Mm-hmm. So I was just, you know, overwhelmed and bye-bye.
And gotta go.
Yeah. So,
but that's the
app. But I have never been that person. Yeah, I've never been that person.
And that's good. Like, I feel like you are very emotionally intelligent. I've always really admired that about you. Not saying that I'm not emotionally intelligent. I just...
I don't think I am either, but I'm taking the compliment right now.
But I'm gonna take it. Thank you. But yeah, that's my first one anyway.
Well, what else? I mean, I think that's... Oh my god. Okay, a red flag for me. If you are a very judgmental person, like, an outspoken... There's a difference between, like, saying what's on your mind and then, like, saying what's on your mind, but thinking about it, processing it, you know, thinking before you saying.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you know, I don't like very judgy people to the point where it's like, if I go out with somebody, when I've been in this situation before, but I have gone, like, I'm not saying this in general, I'm saying this in general with friendships too, with friendships.
Yeah.
My god, I'm so sorry. I stutter so much. But but that, like, going out with someone and then, like, that person just kind of, like, taking, like, saying rude comments about every single little thing, or, like, every single person that just, like, walks by them, I just can't, like, why are you, like, you know?
I think that's, like, not necessarily judgmental, but negative, like, just constantly negative energy, like, not really bringing any positivity to the table.
Yeah.
Like, but also, I definitely feel the judgmental aspect, because it really is thinking, or not thinking before speaking, which, like, yeah, if you can't filter yourself like that, it's
just
embarrassing.
A little bit.
Like,
you know, I'm all about no filter, but, you know.
Within reason.
You got to know what to say, you know, at the right moment, where you are, depends on who you're around with.
Exactly. Like, if we're by ourselves, like, okay, whatever, like, you know,
say whatever you want.
But also too, though, like, even when we're by ourselves, I feel like there's a certain level of human decency that everyone should have. Like, there are certain things that are just, you know, inalienable rights, you know, that
human decency, everyone.
Yes. Like, you, everyone just needs basic human decency, and I feel like the world would be fine. And there have been people, especially within the last few years, that, you know, I've really just had to distance myself from. Even my ex-boyfriend from like high school came out to be like a very bigoted person, and I was like, ooh, like when did that happen, and like why haven't I seen it? And it's just, it's disconcerting when you have a lot of love and respect for someone, and then, you know, just like ugly things rear their head, and then at that point, what do you do? I mean, snip snip ho,
bye bye. Next. Did you ever see that MTV show called Next, the dating one?
Okay, actually, my partner showed me that show
for the first time. Crazy.
It's the rudest thing I've ever seen. It is so rude. Go look at
everyone if you have never seen that. I remember like being like in middle school and seeing that, like, the little short clips passing by on TV, and I was like, what is wrong with these people? I was in middle school, and I was like, this is like real. Like,
I know,
I thought it was so funny. Okay, oh, wait, my gosh. Can you give me like 2 seconds? Give me like,
yeah,
two
absolutely. Seconds.
Okay, hold on. But anyway, that show, Next, dude, I would. So, like, if that was still a thing, I would so audition for that shit. Like, I would love to be the people who are, like, getting Next, and then the person who's, like, doing all, like, going on all these dates.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be hilarious.
I think I would love to be the person doing the Next. My feelings would be hurt.
There's been some where it's like they immediately like step outside the bus and they just look at them. They're like, Next.
I would cry. I would cry. I'm not even kidding. Because I would, well, I'm like, why? And like, get, try to be like, can you tell me why? Like, why would you even Next me right now?
Oh my God. But
I would ugly cry.
Let's move on.
Okay.
You, what's one thing that would, you know, immediately turn you off? What are some turnoffs, or romantic, or, you know, or not?
Okay, I think my first one, my very, very first one is like outwardly doing gross things. Like, we all do gross things with our body, like, I, you know, whatever. As far as romantic, like, a big turnoff for me that one of my ex-boyfriends would do is he would like pick his nose like in front of my entire family and like flick it like that.
What? Yes, you took a complete turn. I didn't even expect you to say.
But then listen. Like, I would give him like a disgusted look, and he'd be like, "What? Everybody does it." And I'm like, that's fine.
No,
like,
that's time and place.
Like, yes. Like, I mean, if you're flicking it out of the window of a car, like, whatever. But just them saying like everybody does it, I don't like that. It's an immediate turn off.
At least. Oh my God. Dude, that's,
and that goes
so
for
funny.
Farts too. Like, literally, I don't care. Everybody farts, okay? That's fine. That's absolutely fine. But like, time and place. Oh. Like, time and place. Please.
Girl, buddy, if you can't hold it in, you can't hold it in.
Okay, but then you have to like sneak it off or play it off. You know, like, I'm not going to judge you, but please do not like lift up your leg and rip one in front of my whole family. Like, that's, and then everybody does it. No. No, everybody does not, just for people they don't even know, do that.
Oh, right? Yeah, for people, like, yeah. First time meeting them, I'm not going to do that.
Thank you, yes. Like, first time, that's fine. Like, or not first time, that's not okay. Like, oh, I don't know how I'm trying to say this. If
I know,
it's the first
I get
time,
it.
It's not okay.
I understand.
Okay, sorry. You go ahead. What's yours? What's one of yours?
I feel like a turnoff, I don't know, the only thing that would come up is, like, romantically,
yeah,
someone, okay, I get it, where there's like a difference between, how do you say it, not worshiping, but okay, admiring someone's insecurities and then fetishizing someone's personal insecurities.
Yes.
So
okay,
very
wait.
Much.
Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to like get into it a little bit?
So very. I mean, yeah, that's fine. So like, for me, it's like the top two for me would be like my weight and then my ethnicity.
Okay, yeah, we kind of talked about this early, like when we were doing episode ideas and stuff.
Yeah,
that is like incredibly disrespectful.
I like, think it's just there's, you know, we can talk it out obviously, but like, I don't know, it's just a little bit triggering, that's the word. It's triggering.
But do you mean fetishizing like when y'all are like getting down and dirty and they like say something in the moment?
No. I'm saying in general. I mean obviously if it's in the moment, then you know, then get off me, then we're gonna stop this. But it's like but I'm saying in general, it doesn't have to be in the moment obviously either, but like in general, like fetishizing my personal insecurities that would make me feel just terrible.
Like,
and
you're
also, you know, and if you're in the middle of getting down and dirty, you're at your most vulnerable.
Yeah,
place. So
exactly.
It's like, you know, very
I definitely,
much that.
I definitely understand that, and kind of playing into it too. I think that's one of my big. We talked about this a little bit. Like one of my biggest turnoffs, and like the one thing that will really just ruin. And this is romantic or otherwise. But fetishizing, kind of like what you said, but fetishizing the fact that I'm mixed. Like, I feel like there's such a complex on mixed children, not just from white people even, but also from, you know, people of color, brown people,
but
black
people.
People
of color, yeah.
Like, that is something that immediately makes me feel very uncomfortable, because I've never really racially identified with either of my races. Like, I appreciate my culture from both, but like I am who I am, and it's not that my ethnicity and my race aren't important. They definitely are something that are very important to me and something that I hold close to my heart. And so the fact that someone's like, like, you're a brown sugar queen, like that just
brown sugar.
That is verbatim what a member of my church has approached me with, and it is why I've been so turned off from
it's
being within my own religion.
It's honestly, it's a really big issue in the LGBT community. For, like, it really is, yeah, because it's like when people, like especially in like these like apps that they have, like Tinder and Grindr, when people, some people like are there for hookups obviously, and that's cool, do your own thing, but in some people in their profile, they would put like, oh, like Latino men only, or like like, please be under this weight, or what? Nobody or no one, like no twinks, and like no one feminine and stuff like that. Like, people would put that in their profiles.
That's really discriminatory. That's kind of, that
very,
definitely is an issue.
Yeah, and that's why it's like very early on like it's an issue, because it's like whenever you're little, like for me, for personal experience, I didn't have anybody to kind of guide me and like, or help me trying to figure out who I am. I figured out who I was by myself. And I feel like everyone, you know, everyone does that, but sometimes you have, you know, moral support and you have family like who understand you, but obviously, and you know, early on, my family didn't understand me yet. But
yeah,
you know, when you're young, you go on these apps trying to like find, you know, something because you're curious, and like seeing this for the first time, like when you're very young, it's traumatizing.
Damaging.
Yeah.
That is so heartbreaking. Is there a way that like you can report that on any of the apps? Well,
you can report anyone, like any page or any profile, but you know, it's not like they're just gonna, you know, delete. I don't think there's somebody who like spends their day just looking over what's going on. That's a lot. It's a lot of people do that.
I had no idea it was that big of an issue in the LGBT community. That's like really, I mean, everyone has a type, and like, I understand that, but
even the age, oh my God, the age thing. There is
that I have heard.
Yeah. The age thing in the LGBT community as well. Like in those apps and stuff like that, like, I don't know, people fetishize like being young, especially like older people, like being with young, like way younger people, like barely legal people. It's just,
but
and
why,
people are willing to put that on their profiles as well, like only like 18 to 20 year olds or like eight, you know.
Wow, that's low-key predatory.
Yep. James Charles, just kidding.
Oh my goodness, let's just throw that in there. But no, for real, that's a really serious issue, and especially because I feel like James Charles definitely brought that more to light with his actions recently.
Let's just drag James Charles out. I mean, but yeah, like no one noticed it as a big issue in this community, in my community, and it's terrible.
When I think to a lot of people are like, people kind of just leave the LGBTQ community alone because they're like, you know, everyone like deserves love and all that good stuff. But just because everyone does deserve love doesn't mean that there aren't issues within a community. Like, it raises that question as well. Mm-hmm. And it's heart-wrenching to think of like little Josue trying to find love and like seeing that in people's profiles. Like, fuck them, man. I'm upset.
That's funny. I mean, it's funny to me now. I use, oh my God, laughter as a huge coping mechanism. I know it can be an issue sometimes to some people because some people aren't going to take me serious, but yeah, it's just
no. Me. I like have that issue when people like get hurt. I don't know where it stems from either. I've really tried to dive deep and figure out why, because it's not funny. Like, I know it's not funny,
but oh
my
yeah, initial yeah
react, my it's just to laugh. Like, I just start laughing, they're like, it's not funny, like I'm hurt, I'm so sorry,
I'm hurt about it. It didn't happen to me, but I get it.
It's like I definitely understand that coping mechanism for sure. Okay, so what are things that like any other person, romantic or not, do that like kind of make you suspicious or second guess them, like as far as their feelings for you?
Let's see. I feel like, I mean, to me, whenever I'm like going out, I hope this makes sense, but if I'm like out with somebody,
mm-hmm.
I know I'm always stuck to the phone, and that became an issue. Not with, I'm saying in general, like a general issue, like a lot of people just became more stuck mm-hmm. to their phones like these past 2 years. But, you know, nowadays it's like if I'm getting to know somebody, I feel like someone who's around me all the time being stuck on their phone constantly,
mm-hmm.
it makes me overthink.
Oh.
And it's probably personal. It's probably, you know, not everyone has that problem where it's like, because I met some people where, you know, their significant other is on the phone all the time, all the time, but they don't have a problem with that, you know?
Yeah,
but
I feel like
society also just put that in our heads where it's like, oh, they could be doing something wrong on the phone. They're probably like cheating on you, doing something, talking to someone else. But it's like, you know, at the same time, you know, if you're interested in me, shit, like, why are you on your phone all the time? You know?
Yeah, no, I definitely, I get that whole society pressure. Did you say what TV show?
No, to each their own.
Oh, I was like, what?
What TV show?
You mad they watching TV about
no.
you? No, I definitely feel that societal pressure as far as like, well, why are they on their phone all the time? Like, what could they be hiding?
Yeah.
For me personally, like that's a non-issue for me. Just because I don't know, not that I'm on my phone all the time, but I just trust my significant others like way too much, probably far too much, to like really think or let my mind go there.
Yeah.
But I think that in and of itself is also a coping mechanism.
Yeah, but you know, like you built that up first. You built that trust with that person, you know? I'm talking, like, it makes more sense, like, giving your attention to that person in the beginning stages until you gain your trust. I get that, you know. So, you know, I feel like it is more towards the beginning stages of talking to someone.
That, yeah, well, that would, where that would make you feel like they're losing interest. Yeah, yeah, I definitely feel that. I think, for me at least, like the biggest, I would say red flag, or not even necessarily red flag, just something that they do that would make me feel like they're pulling away. I am a huge, like, affectionate person with with everyone. And so my significant other, I really enjoy it when they're also affectionate. And this is just where physical intimacy comes into play as well. So not necessarily sex, but just like the hand holding or, you know, like the grabbing of the thigh when we're driving, like when that stops, and that can be at any point in a relationship, I feel like. But when they start pulling back or like withholding physical affection, I immediately start spiraling. Like I immediately am like, okay, who is she? Like, who is she that's cuter than me? Like, why? Why aren't you touching me? Why don't you want me? Like, it immediately is a black hole that I fall down into.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what I didn't put that one, but I feel like I did become a more affectionate person. Well, I found out that I'm a more affectionate person from like the people that I've talked to or whatever. So, which is good because, you know, who doesn't like that? Who doesn't like to be
exactly like doted on
and stuff. But for me, it's like, you know, I feel like I'm very easy to feed off of people's energies at the moment. So it's like, if you don't give me the same energy or time, then that's pulling very much away. Or like how we said in the beginning, like making plans over ours or making plans over yours. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that definitely, like when they double book themselves, like that definitely, I'm like, okay, why? Like, this is my time with you. Or prioritize something, like not necessarily that like you had plans, but they prioritize something that like maybe you do together in, in exchange for like something else. That's definitely something that I'm like, okay, what? Do you not love me? So are we done? I definitely go to the, like, to the entire one way. Like, it's not just, oh, maybe something's going on, maybe they had a bad day. It immediately is like, okay, so you're breaking up with me. So like, let me just prepare myself with all my counterpoints. So like, that's just where my mind goes, at least.
Sorry that I paused. I thought you were gonna keep going.
No, you're good. That's my bad. I kind of lost my train of thought in the middle of that. That's fine, we'll cut it out. Oh, okay, so here's a good counter question though. Like, what are your signs for you that you're pulling away?
Oh no, the same thing, honestly. Oh, like one word responses to everything. That's probably petty, but one word responses to everything.
No, I feel like that's definitely as valid. Like, if I feel like that's for you for sure a thing. Like, no, like not just like not with me or like, but like if we're in a group chat or something, like in the past, yes. Like you could be going, and then there comes a time, like we had one back. I don't know if you remember this at all, but like back when we were all at Chick-fil-A, we had one, and then, you know, things were happening with certain people, and like there was drama, blah 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 blah, and you immediately just were like, nope. Okay.
Cool. Bet.
Yes. Very much. Like, I can definitely say, I've experienced it from you, but
I just send memes now. My one word responses are just memes.
So we've upgraded just a teeny bit, so it's not as hurtful.
It's like it's like giving a backhanded compliment. I'm very much like that. Like, I'm very much tough love. Like,
that's very Aquarius. That's Aquarian style right there. That very much is Aquarian style. When you're done, you're very much like, all right, you're cut off, sis.
You've been cut off.
Definitely your style. As far as like, I feel like it's different for me for friendships and like much. So it goes, like for me, it's a little deep. Like with my family, when I start pulling away, like me and my mom go through these ruts where like we've had to go to therapy a couple of times. Like, I love you, Mom. We're good now. But as far as like with my mom specifically, I feel like I start pulling away and I get really mean to her and it breaks my heart. And I, like I said, I'm working on those like shadow parts of myself that I like, I don't know why I respond that way, but I start getting really mean and really cruel to her. And it hurts me that I do that, but that's like how I pull away from my family too, is like I start getting really mean and like poking at their nerves.
Yeah, I'm very, you know, in my I have people who can, my family can hold me accountable for this, but like if I have a bad day, I know I tend to, I really try my best not to, but I do tend to take it out on some people. Not in a way where it's like, not in a way where I start arguing with everyone, but, well, actually, maybe my sister might say that, but she's my sister. I argue with her all the time. But yeah, not in a way where I start arguing with someone, but more of like, I just have a really bitchy attitude and like a resting bitch face for like the entire time.
Yeah, yeah. And I
feel that's like when that's... I give one word answers to like everyone.
Yes. And I don't know why. And like I said, like you said, but my family can attest to it too. Like, I take it out on specific people and I can get really mean, but that's like only with my family. Like, when I start pulling away from my family, like I just get really, really mean and really, really volatile. And like, I go for the nerve, like I go for the striking blow that I know is going to hurt them. And that's horrible. Like, that's so mean. And I don't know why I do that, but it's usually just with them that I do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do it with my family as well. But that's because, you know, you're with them all the time. And I'm with my family all the time as well. I still live with all my family. It's just, you know, my parents and my sister. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm with them all the time. So, yeah, sometimes I do be tripping and I just get my anger out on them, which is bad. But it just happens. And
I feel like
we're still there for each other.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of the day, you still come back, and that's where, and you work it out and you say your sorries. But
yeah,
that's where it differs with me as far as like friends and family. Cause with my friends, when I start pulling away, like I hate to say this where people can like hear me, but I ghost. Like ghost. I will not answer your calls. I will not answer your text. I will not answer anything. I'm working on it, and I've gotten a lot better like this past year because I've had a lot of time to self-reflect with COVID and everything. But I feel like that's equally as hurtful as like going for the striking blow, because I just will not talk to you. I will not give you a reason why. I will not elaborate. I will leave you on red. Like, it's horrible, but that's how I pull away from friendships. Is you are out of my life. You're cut off.
So for me, if something just happened, I'm not gonna let it go. I'm not gonna let it keep going for days and days and days and days and days. I can't do that. If I have a problem with you, I'm gonna talk to you then and there, and we're gonna fix it.
Yeah, and I feel like if the friendship is worth it to me, that's what I'll do.
Okay, yeah. Also that. I guess, you know, if I want to end it with you, then, you know.
You would still say, like, hey, I'm kind of done with you. Like, I'm done with this.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas I am lacking in that department.
I'm very much like, if I already told you many times what I had to say, and I already, you know, if I said what I said, it's done. I don't need to keep going. But if you want to keep going, you can, but, you know, I already made my statement and that's it, you know. And I'm the type of person to get over things really, like, quickly. I get over it. If, like, me and my sister argue, like, 2 hours later, we could be fucking laughing and going to get food and stuff like that. You know, we're very much like that. I'm very much like that with my family and my friends.
For sure admire you for that, because I'm a chicken. Like, there are times where, and like more specifically kind of like that friendship I was mentioning earlier, I like started to realize things and come to conclusions, like kind of just connecting the dots about things. And I did not want to bring it up with that person. Like, I just was like, you're kind of trash and I'm done. Like, I'm over it. And I feel like now that person does deserve an explanation at least. But at the same time, like when I was coming to that, those realizations, that was really scary and hard for me to realize that like I'd been kind of used and like manipulated by this so-called friend of mine. And I didn't like, I didn't want to be around them. I didn't want to see them. And so while I acknowledge that ghosting is probably not the most like mature thing to do, like there are times where like I really just need to step back and kind of process everything myself. And I'm sorry, but like my mental health and peace of mind comes before yours.
Yeah.
And that's okay to say. Like it's even with people that you love and care about, I feel like we don't give ourselves, we like as a society don't give ourselves enough permission to say, no, like I'm not okay right now. And you need to accept that.
Yes. Oh my God. There's this. Okay. This is very cheesy, but I watch RuPaul's Drag Race, obviously, which gay doesn't watch RuPaul's Drag Race, but at the end, RuPaul always says, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Yeah, exactly. Though. I mean,
so work on yourself, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not ready, you know, I'm not saying don't put yourself out there. It doesn't hurt to try and putting yourself out there for others. But if you know that you're not personally okay, then don't bring that into someone else's life.
Yeah, be selfish in that aspect. Like, know yourself enough to know that you can't handle it and save someone else the hurt. And that way, you are thinking of somebody else. Like, by thinking of yourself, you are thinking of somebody
else. Save my time. Like, bitch, if you're not okay, just tell me. If you're not good, okay, let me know. We can be friends. But, like, girl, you know.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going. Listen, I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
And don't be afraid to say that. Don't be afraid to express your needs. And that's something that has been so conditioned to us that, like, we can't express our needs. Sorry, my father just text. But yeah, like not being able to express our needs is so detrimental. It's so detrimental. And so I think that's, anyway, it's one thing that I do that I pull away from that. I just like, I didn't really give myself permission to do until this year that I just kind of started learning about.
Self-help, everyone.
Get help.
Self-care. I mean, self-care. Everyone do your self-care.
Literally.
And even if it's shopping, don't overdo it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think, like, personally, and I keep, like, mentioning it, but doing your shadow work is a way of showing, like, self-love and self-care. It's getting to know those darker sides of yourself and, like, acknowledging them as a part of you instead of trying to dismiss them or bury them as bad. Like, there are tendencies that people have in society have deemed as, like, bad qualities. And sure, there are not a present need for certain qualities in society. But at the same time, repressing that side of yourself is repressing yourself in general. And you'll start putting that on others. Like, there's that saying, it's like, there's something about that person that I don't like about myself. And it's because,
like,
yeah. Anyway.
For me, it was, well, a lot of self-care. And meditation actually helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Writing my own thoughts helps a lot.
Journaling.
You know, some people think about, like, journaling, like, as, like, you know, a cheesy way of, like, Dear Diary. Oh, it's so annoying. That's so funny. But, you know, no, you don't have to. Don't fucking just start writing. Just start writing what's on your head, what's on your mind. And just get it out. You know, if you're gonna, if you don't have no one to talk to, bitch, write it down. Like, talk to yourself. Make a video of yourself talking about.
Yes, I was gonna say, like,
I do that a lot.
I do voice recordings.
I got a shit ton of videos on my drafts.
Me too.
That no one wants to see. Like, you know.
I don't know why that helps, but I definitely would record myself, like, at my lowest moments. Like, I'd be just crying Trisha Paytas style on the floor into the camera and I mean, not to make fun of her, like, I really admire her for that. I mean, to share that with the world, that honestly,
oh my God, yeah,
really brave. Because I could never, but I definitely like, I like to doodle. So writing distracts me, but doing voice recordings and videos of like just things that I'm thinking or like getting it out, it's so relieving. It is so, it's so relieving. So anyway, 100% recommend. Hostway recommendation. Not 100% back.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Anyway, so I do think we end on a good note with like all the self-help things too. So
yeah.
I think that's good. I think that's really good. We'll do okay, part two, because you guys like that one so much.
All right, ladies. Well, we went on for a while. I think we're going to do a part two.
Yeah, I think that's the way we're going to have to go. This really got so much deeper than I really anticipated. I think we got into a lot of good things this episode. And
you know what? I think part two, it might get a little deeper. Because these questions that Glenna, let me tell you, these questions that Glenna asked me.
Intense.
Just a little bit, but it's okay. We can get through it.
We're good at getting through it and kind of talking about things that really should be out in the open. And we've touched on a few important topics, in my opinion, good topics that should be out there. But yeah, let us know if you're wanting to partake in our little love part two. It's been an awesome pleasure speaking with y'all, and we'll see you next week.
And discussing, you know, if you're okay, but if you're gonna get on this podcast and you are a Cancer or a Gemini or an Aries, please, your request will be automatically declined.
Or at least like give us a heads up so I know what to plan for. I love you guys, but oh my gosh.
Just kidding. Bye.